Hello and welcome to A Vague Idea. This is a comedy trivia podcast. I'm Nate Regolia. Each week, we subject our guests to a list of topics to find out if they have a vague idea. And this week, we're going to be talking about something that a lot of people have had to do a lot more of if they wanted to, and a lot of people have had to do a lot more of even if they didn't want to because there's nothing else to do. We're going to talk about video games. And this week, we have one returning guest. He is a, pretty much a Denver superhero in both political and all sorts of social realms. He's been on the television. If you watch the local TV and you want to hear about politics, this is a guy who talks at you. He talks about the right opinions on politics. I want to be clear about that.
The left opinions.
Yeah, the correct left opinions. The proper opinions. You work for Progress Now as well. You are the executive director. Ian Silveri returns to the show. Ian, how are you?
Thanks for having me back. I'm great. I love this show. Glad to be on it. And excited to battle our other guest today.
Yeah, so our other guest is a first-time guest, sometime listener, who is related to one of the two of us. And I'm just going to spoil it right now. He's related to Ian. It's Alex Silveri. Hey, Alex.
Hello.
Welcome to the show.
The lesser Silveri.
Hey, wait a minute. The lesser known Silveri.
The taller, more handsomer, yet lesser Silveri.
Listen. All right.
I was hoping for better trash talk than that to start, but we'll get to it.
Listen.
My whole life I wanted to be an actor. I was on the stage, I was doing
it,
I went to school for film.
He was Oberon in Midsummer Night's Dream and he crushed it.
Oh nice.
That's
not an easy role.
I had a YouTube channel like in the early days of YouTube and I was nailing it. I was getting a lot of views. It was really fun. I made one video and like five people said mean things to me and I was done with fame. I was like, I can't handle this. I cannot take one negative opinion about me. I am going away from all of this and I am never doing it again.
Meanwhile, I get weird shit in the mail every single week. So,
yeah,
you know.
Mm-hmm. His life fucking terrifies
me. It's real bad. Is this a cussing podcast?
Good. Yeah, of course. Fucking
cool.
Cuss all the fuck
cool.
You
yeah,
want.
Fucking cuss.
I was going to say, Alex, have you considered entering into the lucrative and very popular business of pandemic conspiracy movies on YouTube? Because I think you could probably make one. It's really not hard to rent
about
a drone.
This shit is like, so back in January, I guess, when this started happening in China, like, we work with a lot of Chinese companies because we buy a lot of Chinese hardware. And, like, it started coming out that, like, these businesses were just closed entirely for, like, weeks. And I was turning to people and I was like, hey, do you think that this is going to happen over here? And everyone was like, nah, that's just crazy. And, like, it happened in Italy. And they, like, shut the whole country down. And I was like, hey, guys. Do you think that maybe this is going to happen over here? And everyone's like, nah, you're just being like typical conspiracy theorist. You're just crazy. I'm like, look, I'm not a conspiracy theorist. I'm just like,
motherfucker, you made me watch Loose Change like 12 times. I don't want to hear that bullshit
11.
At all.
I go back and I listen to the music that I made back then to embarrass myself now and remind myself
That's
that
good.
Teenagers are
Stay
most
humble.
Of the people. Teenagers are most of the people making these shitty opinions on the internet, and I give them a break because I was a teenager with shitty opinions.
Word up.
Yeah. No, it's an important thing. I also like that we hit on the very important subject of growing out of conspiracy theory information being something you view as valid, being a thing that most people do.
Yeah.
I watched a delightful video today on Facebook about a couple in a Walmart in Minnesota who were wearing
swastika
masks.
Yeah.
They were, because swastika mask, it's one thing. You're really shitty. You're making a really dumb point really poorly. Why are you Sig Heiling then?
Right.
That's the part where, like, you're jumping the shark and your shit's not really making a lot of sense.
I mean, the part where if someone else is like, hey, your idea doesn't make any sense, and you're like, okay, no, no, you're not getting. I mean, it's basically like if you have to explain the bit that much, it's a bad bit. If you think
I'm not pro-Nazi. This isn't like a I'm not wearing a swastika. I'm being like metaphorical about the government restricting my speech, and they're the swastika. None of that shit works.
Right.
Don't fucking put swastikas on ever.
We all saw the episode of The Simpsons where George H.W. Bush moves across the street from The Simpsons, and he puts up a banner that says "Two Bad Neighbors" with poorly spray painted pictures of Homer and Bart on it. But they're so poorly painted that everybody's like, I don't know what you're saying. Are you saying that you and Barbara are the bad neighbors? And he's like, no, it's the boy and the man. And it's the only thing I can think of is two people with just terrible ability to convey their viewpoint that is wrong anyway.
There's an old saying in politics, if you're splainin', you're losin'.
Yeah. Yeah.
Don't be splainin'.
Nobody wants to listen to people gabbing about.
Especially if you're splainin' through a fucking swastika, then you definitely losin'.
Yeah. Dude, the other day, I went to go to the fucking mini mart around the corner from my house. I don't see people anymore. The lady at the mini mart is like the person I see the most besides my fucking family. I just go in there. I just want to get my shit and leave. And I'm walking out, and this dude in a convertible pulls up with a fucking cowboy hat. And he gets out of the car. I live in New Jersey. And he gets out of the car, and he's, like, blocking my way to get into my car because he's, like, going to check around his passenger side. And he walks over to it, and he's like, gotta get my mask. And I'm like, okay. And then he says, if Trump doesn't win, we're screwed. And I just wanted to say to him,
like, looking at you?
Dude, I just scooted past him, got in the car, and drove away. And, like, yeah, like, fucking read the room, my dude.
I have a question. Cowboy hat in a convertible? Did he have, like, a little string holding it together? Like, what happens when he goes more than 30 miles an hour?
I would assume the cowboy hat's on the seat until he gets there, then he puts the cowboy hat on. Listen, stupid people make stupid fucking decisions.
Yeah, that's true.
Okay. And like, he was like, it was so frustrating because I was enjoying my day. I don't see anybody. I work from home. So like, my kids and my wife leave the house, and like, I miss them, and I don't need to see anybody else. And the one interaction I had with another human being that day was for some guy to be like, Donald Trump, huh?
What's the lesson?
Go the fuck away.
What's the lesson?
Keep your mouth shut.
No, don't leave the house ever. Don't leave the house.
Yeah, yeah. Because you can't even fucking go to the corner store without a dude accosting you and being like, dude, I have like Elvis Costello glasses and long.
I know. You are not like you are not wearing a MAGA hat, man.
Yeah, yeah. You're not screaming conservative voter block.
What does he think he's gonna do? Convince me in that 11 seconds? Like,
it's like, oh shit, I never thought about it that way. Yeah, well, I guess we are all.
You know
screwed.
What? You're right.
I assume that this person who thinks that a cowboy hat is the appropriate accessory for a convertible anyway,
just looks
at another white male. I'm assuming he was a white male. Looks at you and goes, this guy gets me.
It's not like Darius Rucker.
Because these guys get me. And that's the end of it.
At least he had his mask.
Meanwhile, I fucking they don't fuck around in New Jersey. Like,
I know you guys really flatten the curve. You like did a good job out there.
Yeah.
Like, you can get away with, like, walking down the street or, like, going to the park. You're not supposed to. But, like, dude, if you go into a store without a mask, they don't let you in.
That's
good.
They
take it seriously. Yeah, At least from my opinion, my experience. I'm sure someone from New Jersey is going to be like, motherfucker, I see people coming all the time without a mask. But, like, from my experience in my area, people don't fucking do that. And it's cool. It's really cool. Because, like, thank God they're taking it seriously.
Word up.
Hell yeah. So let's transition to our game this evening. We're going to talk about video games because both of you are people who I have played video games with.
It's true.
Yes.
Some of the most fun I've ever had. One of the things is, I mean, obviously for Ian's bachelor party, which we all attended, we played some of the Mario Kart on the Nintendo Switch.
That was super fun.
That is a game that always... Yeah. That's a game that always tricks me into thinking I should buy the new Nintendo system, but then I always realize, like, I'm just going to end up playing this alone by myself, and it's not going to be as fun as it was.
Or so. You can always just play Skyrim on it, because you can play Skyrim on fucking everything.
That's true. I did buy Skyrim for the PS4. I finally bought it. I'm playing through it. I created a character much. Based off of the D&D character I'm playing.
Nice.
I love that.
And it's delightful.
I bought it on the Switch. I was trying for months to not buy that fucking game on the Switch.
The only reason why, that's the reason why I'm not buying a Switch, is because if I buy another fucking copy of Skyrim, I'm going to kill myself.
Like,
I
just... Whatever. First off, I have bought Symphony of the Night at least 30 times.
I bought Symphony of the Night like 4 or 5 times.
Oh, yeah.
True.
And it's like buying the White Album over and over again. You're just going to keep like, doing it.
Yeah. And
you're
I pirated
make a hologram
Symphony of the
version
Night
of.
Once because I bought it yes. 5 times and I feel like I was entitled to one illegal version.
And listen, I am okay with buying multiple copies of games specifically because of my older brother, Ian. Because he used to be the one who took the discs out and just like left them sitting around and got them screwed up. And
I was
remember
like
you,
that.
You
I'm not
took
anymore.
The Dreamcast oh, to man. College with you and you had to burn yourself a copy of
Marvel vs. Capcom 2. Yeah. It's true.
Yeah. I had a, so I grew up as an only child until I was 19. And then my dad remarried and I inherited a stepsister. But
is that the right word?
Inherited?
Yeah, like she was in the will?
Well, she wasn't, she's not related to me in any way.
I think like acquired, ascertained.
Acquired is good.
Acquired is kind of weird.
Acquired is weird, then it's like property, you're right. All right, yeah. I apologize. Please continue.
Anyway, I was blessed with, we'll say that.
There you go, that's really
yeah.
nice.
That's nice, perfect. And it's also true. So I had a PlayStation 1. I was just in love with NHL 95, which was like one of those EA Sports games.
We were not sports kids, please continue.
It was one of my favorite games.
It's like, how do you ruin video games? Make it sports.
For a lot of people, I really like that era. I don't really care for them now. There's only like 2 arcade-based sports games that I play now. Anyway, I lent that game to a friend of mine in middle school or something, or high school. For 2 weeks, and I got it back so scratched that it would no longer work. And then when I confronted him with it, he was like, "I don't know what you're talking about." And I was like, "Okay, I'm never doing anything for anybody."
That's
ever
some
again.
Bullshit. That is some bullshit.
But okay, let's, Ian. I'm going to start with you. We're going to do the opening question here.
Cool.
What is, and this is all time, what is your favorite video game?
Shit, that's really hard.
It's a big one.
That's really hard.
I think about
that's like
this
asking your favorite
my
song.
Life.
I mean, all right. So what's my favorite video game? What's the video game I've played the most? Like what?
I think
is
I
it,
know the answer.
I think it's
favorite?
Open to your interpretation. Like what if it's the game you feel like you've played the most is your favorite, or if it's something that just like sticks with you. I mean, there are a lot of different answers to this, and this is wide open. I'm going to grade you points wise very arbitrarily. So just
understood.
Whatever feels right.
All right. It's probably Skyrim. Like
okay.
probably because it's like it's so fucking versatile. Like you can play that game so many times, so many ways, on so many platforms, as discussed earlier. If you have like a smart fridge, I bet there's a Skyrim app for it.
Oh, yeah.
You can just like hook up and like go for
Samsung,
it.
Samsung, how's the milk?
Also
Fireball.
Like, yeah, exactly. Like Sneaky Archer once again. I love fucking Skyrim, but I think Dark Souls 1 is probably a close second, if not actually the answer.
Okay.
So I'm sorry I had to give you 2.
No, that's great. That's great. Okay, Alex, what's your favorite video game? You're just
man,
your favorite.
Man.
And feel free to talk you know, through it. Like you can we can go entirely
it's like a surprisingly
so like,
hard
show.
Question.
Side note about Dark Souls. One day I woke up and Ian just mailed me this game.
That's
he
true.
Didn't tell me anything about it. He just sent it to me out of the fucking blue. And I'm like, what is this? And he's like, just play it. You'll love it. And I'm like, okay. Dude, 20 minutes in, I texted him in all caps, why did you do this?
Yeah.
And he was like, dude, stick with it. You're going to love it.
Prepare to die over and over again.
Dark Souls is so fucking good.
It's
all right,
so
but
good.
So, man, ugh. I gotta say Symphony of the Night. Like
that's a surprise answer. I was for sure you were gonna pick a Mega Man.
Yeah, so Mega
or
Man
a Pokemon.
X is the I love Pokemon, but like Pokemon is like I'm a card Pokemon card.
Yeah,
like that was my real love. So like the games are so good, but like, there are so many good video games. Pokemon is not even in my top five. But, like, yo, huh, I love Mega Man X, and that was what I was going to pick. But, mm-hmm. like, Symphony of the Night is my favorite game. Like, I'll replay Mega Man X, like, from, like, here till forever. But, like, I have both of them on my phone, and I haven't touched Mega Man X in years. I still play Symphony of the Night all the time.
Is so fucking good.
It is really, it's my favorite really game. Interesting.
Can we turn it to
it's
you?
It's just brilliant.
Host, can we ask you the same question?
Oh, yeah. What is your favorite?
Absolutely. I was going to say anyway. I mean, my favorite game, I think, of all time is Fallout 2.
And two?
Ooh.
Yeah.
Bold choice.
That game is so fucking good.
The reason why is because
it's really good.
I really enjoyed Fallout 1, but I played it because I played Fallout 2. Fallout 2 was a game where the first time I played it, and I played it like 10 times. The first time I played I blew the whole water chip mission entirely, and after playing for like 10 hours, saw all of the like tribal people who I grew up with die. And then I was like, oh, cool. I'm just going to, I guess, wander around the desert. I don't know. I don't know what to do anymore because I feel like I screwed this up. But it didn't punish me for that. It instead just said, all right, go do other stuff. So I wandered around. I found a car. I'm cruising around in this old, like, 57 Chevy-looking thing that I have to keep finding batteries for. And running into weird-ass Douglas Adams references every random encounters.
So like, good.
What it did was just that it engaged me in video games being something bigger than passing levels.
Yeah,
it was
like
and stuff.
References and to other yeah. shit.
Yeah. It was like, oh, yeah. I'm just gonna show up at a place where there's like a splashed whale corpse and a flower pot, and I'm gonna look that up because I don't know what it is. And thank God the internet kind of existed at the time I was playing it, so I was like, oh no shit, this is wow. It was a totally different experience for me, and it really brought me into video games in a new and a different way.
So the baby just woke up. So that's like the noise.
Welcome to the podcast. It's What's your gremling. Favorite video game?
The gremlin is on the podcast.
That's my nephew right there.
Have to feed him real quick. But what I wanted to say, and no one fucking asked me, Fallout 2 is not even my favorite Fallout game. Like Fallout 3.
Fallout 3 is a better Fallout game. I will give you that.
But then, how are you gonna? Okay. If you acknowledge that Fallout 3 is a better Fallout game, how is Fallout 2 your favorite video game?
So, dude, just like Skyrim is a better game than Morrowind, Morrowind is my favorite Elder Scrolls.
You gotta be out of your fucking mind. That game is so glitchy and the interface is so garbage.
Perfect.
Oh my god.
Yo. So
shooting an arrow in that game is like the least satisfying thing ever on the planet. Or just, there's no. Velocity, nothing twangs. It's awful.
No, nah, yeah. It's terrible. But like, dude, I have never played a video game in my life like that. Like, they just throw you to the wolves. They don't even give you any. There's, you got to open up your journal, and it gives you like a vague idea.
I know,
hey, wait,
hey! A random podcast. You like, said the name of the every drink.
Minus
do
five.
I get a point for that? So, I bought the Elder Scrolls manual, like the big fucking, you know, character sheet. And I remember I had them, like, that book tabbed up with post-it notes. I kept so many notes in that game, where to find the right things to make the right potions to heal myself. Because that game was so opaque. It didn't
tell you
anything.
Shit.
That's
yeah,
why, like,
I remember,
because
that's the game where you get off, you get off the boat at the beginning of that game, right? You care.
Yeah.
You character
I gotta
create...
feed this baby. I'm really sorry. I will
no,
be back
feed the
in two
baby.
Minutes.
Please
keep
talking. That's fine. Yeah. But yeah, I remember because I had that game. I was so psyched about it. And then it really, like, that learning curve moment set me back, like, 2 months from playing it again. And then I came back and played it more. And I was like, oh, this is really, like, there's so much depth here. It's sort of
it's
like
huge.
Morrowind made me feel then the way that I look at Death Stranding now, which is that.
Did you play Divinity 2?
No, I didn't.
Yeah, that's like my new Morrowind.
Okay.
It's the same kind. It's the same thing. It's like a very heavy RPG, and like it's turn-based combat, but it's like top-down moving, kind of like Diablo. It's like isometric, and it's. Fantastic.
Oh, cool.
I can't believe and it's by the guys who the next game that the new Baldur's Gate that's coming out is it's half based on what they did in Divinity 2. It's
right
so good. Yeah, it's on the Switch, it's on I think PS4 and all that stuff, and it's pretty cheap from what I remember when I bought it. What were you saying about Death Stranding, though?
Oh, just that because I don't own and haven't played much Death Stranding myself, but I have watched friends play it. I've been over at friend's house back when that was the thing you could do, and I've watched YouTube videos about it. And honestly, like, just looking at the inventory and the management of the things, and
it's so weird.
And how text dense the questing is and the map is, I just, what it made me think of is, like, it makes me think of Morrowind. It's like, okay, there is so much more here than the entry level to moderate level gamer could even bother to plumb.
Yeah.
Which are things that I absolutely love. The game I'm playing right now is Prey, which I don't know if either of you guys have played that.
What is that?
Is that the first person shooter where you're
a
monster?
It's Bethesda, and it's you're on a space station that's being overrun with aliens, and you're basically trying to move through it. It's really cool. It's beautiful. It's immaculately designed.
Is it on PS4 or
it is? Yeah. Yeah.
Prey.
Yeah, Prey. Not cool. To be confused with the 2013 version of Prey that I think is the spiritual successor to it, that has kind of the iconic you have to shoot your girlfriend in the head after she's been sewed to a spider.
Bitten by the zombie or whatever.
It was in the feminism videos that sort of kicked Gamergate off. Because she was like, hey, look, women get screwed in video games, because her whole purpose in this story is to beg to be murdered.
Do you know who I actually talked to about work today?
Who?
Brianna Wu.
Oh, no way.
Target of much of Gamergate.
She
like ran for Congress in Massachusetts and is like starting a super PAC and shit. She's a fucking badass.
That's awesome.
Good. Yeah. Anyway, good. Sorry.
Prey is a great game, but it's one of those things where in the Bethesda tradition, there are so many story artifacts around. Books that you can read 3 pages of, where, you know, sometimes I have the appetite for that and sometimes I don't. And that sort of plays into what you're saying about Morrowind, which is like, there's enough here that if you wanted to wholesale invest yourself in every element of it, you could just like live in this. You could literally immerse yourself and not leave the house back when leaving the house was a thing.
There's a game that came out recently that everyone was raving about that I want to play that I don't have time to play. Disco Elysium.
Yeah, I've heard good things. I haven't played it yet either.
Apparently, like,
oh, isn't that like Hotline Miami with Lovecraft? Isn't that what that is?
That's what I thought, but I haven't watched enough videos to like actually see what the action.
I thought it was even more point and click.
I did too. It was like kind of never.
Oh, like, have you guys seen? Anyway, this whole thing's about video games, so we can just talk about video games all the time. But you have like a show and like.
We're doing it. We're doing the show.
This is just how it's happening.
I could talk about video games until I die.
That's the show.
To put the finest point on my Fallout 2 love, because you expressed that you're like, why would you say Fallout 2 when Fallout 3 is the better game? There's two reasons. Reason one is that Fallout 2 was accessible to me at a time when I wasn't into computer gaming, and it was a game I played on my PC. It was a game where I was like, oh, this works for me because I can do the isometric with the mouse control and the turn-based thing. It felt right, because at that era I was playing pretty much Diablo 2 Fallout 2, and a game that we're going to talk about a little later when we get to that topic, where my focus is in the late 90s. The other reason is that honestly, when I played Fallout 3, I enjoyed everything except that around the last quarter to eighth of the game, my PS3 would chug so much that I would be stopping to save every 30 seconds because I knew it was going to freeze the instant that I stumbled upon some Enclave guys. And I was like, oh, cool. 3 or 4 rockets are flying at the same time. The game is frozen and I've wasted the last 20 minutes of my life.
You can only do that so many times in a row before you like start to feel like horrible about the amount.
Oh yeah, well, because there's the airfield sequence at the end of Fallout 3, right? Where you so go to the airfield. Good. It is massive. It is cinematic. It is just a cacophony of explosion robot. And violence. And if you've got this giant robot, you got like Liberty Prime's marching. Everything's
Liberty
going crazy.
Prime.
And to have that and to play through that sequence 4 times because I would get through it four times, and then the game would just go, oh, fuck.
Did you ever, like, clean the dust filter? Because I never had that problem.
See, that's the thing that I didn't know about. And also, like, I bought the PS3 on eBay as kind of like a whatever. I was never into first-person games when I was younger, and that's kind of why Fallout 2 also. Great job on the opening question. I'm going to award you both 2 points.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And now we're going to go into round number one. And Alex, I'm going to start with you. Do you have a vague idea about a cocktail cabinet?
A cocktail cabinet? Like one that sits and you can play against each other?
That's very good. You have more than a vague idea about it. Great.
Alex knows a lot about pinball, and this sounds like a pinball adjacent machine.
Yeah, I guess they are kind of adjacent. Lots of people who have pinball machines love fucking cocktail cabinets. Cocktail cabinets are cool. They're not really my thing because I'm not like huge on vertical games, but you can do shit like you can put Street Fighter 2, for example, and have one half of the screen face one player and the other half of the screen face the other player and do like head-to-head Street Fighter 2, which is pretty cool. I would get a stand-up arcade if I was going to get one, but games like, you know, Pac-Man and stuff are really cool on cocktail cabinets because you could just sit down and like eat and enjoy yourself.
Right on. Very good. Ian, do you have anything to add about cocktail cabinets?
I didn't have a vague idea about cocktail cabinets because I didn't know what they were called. But now that like I understand, because I was thinking like a head-to-head pachinko machine. That's like what came to mind immediately, which is why I said pinball, but it's not. So a cocktail cabinet is like in like I think the Koreas and much of Asia, they have like a lot of fighting games that are cocktail cabinet style, if I'm not mistaken. Like there's
that's different because those are like head-to-head machines.
But is this like a flat table that everyone's looking down on and you put your beer on it? So we did this at my bachelor party when we went to the Sunshine.
Yes. Oh yeah.
Laundromat. Yeah. And there's like Pac-Man and Galaga and Space Invaders, all the classic ones. Dug Dugs. Uh-huh. All right, cool. I think those are rad. They have some new generation ones of those. Like if you go to like there's this place called Boondocks in Colorado. There's like one in Thornton. It's very much
25 past.
What was that place called?
Or something
that Andrew ran away to? Funplex. What was that arcade?
Oh my god,
Funmania. So it's like Funmania. It was like it's a very Funmania. Funmania was this place on Route 18 in New Jersey that Alex and I, it was like the biggest arcade and they had laser tag and it was like fucking amazing. But it was very much like that. And they have like a whole arcade. One of them was like a bunch of new generation, like 4-player Pac-Man cocktail cabinets that are really fucking dope.
Yeah. And they're huge too. They're very big.
Big and the screens are like HD as fuck everywhere. And like it's really cool.
The one up here on Colfax has one of those.
The one up
4-player
because you said the one up here, but you meant the one up.
The one up.
The name of the arc. The name of the
one up.
The name of the bar is called the one up.
The one.
But it sounded like you said the one
here.
Yeah. Up here.
Who's on first?
Yeah.
You know, I great job both of you. I mean, I think the most beautiful thing about the cocktail cabinet for me is that. What it does is it says video games are going to become a thing that are that's just part of life, right? You're going to go to a bar.
Your table.
Yeah. We can have a bar that where the table is also something where you can pop quarters into it and play and have an experience. And, you know, my fantasy is to at some point have a third bedroom or a basement or something where I could have something like that. Where it's just like, this is just a room where we've got a couple of these. Because they don't even have to be games that I want to play all the time. But the fact that it's there saying, hey, this is an option. It's just neat because I don't know. I feel like there's so much intentionality regarding video games when it comes to like console living. And the beauty of arcades is you walk in and it's like they're all happening. And you just get to be kid in the candy store and do it. And if it was just like, oh, hey, I'm eating my noodles and oh, hey, I could just play a quick round of Pac-Man. Why not?
Yeah. So I'm trying to teach my son how to play video games because he's 5 and now's the time.
Yeah.
And it's difficult when I'm trying to sit him down with you can't sit him down with a PlayStation controller because there's too many buttons.
No,
you can't sit him down with with the Switch because it's not only a touchscreen, but also the button, it's got a lot of buttons. So, you know, I got him this little, like, cheap Game Boy thing with, like, a 401, like, bunch of garbage games. But it's got Mario. It's got, you know, it's one of those knockoff things. And, you know, it's got Chip and Dale, which is a phenomenal NES
Rescue game. Rangers.
Really good game.
Really good game. Great game. Underrated.
So I sat him down. He's playing it. Yeah, really hard. And still hard. So I sat him down, and he was playing it. He's enjoying it. And I was talking to my friend about, you know, teaching him how to play video games and that it's not as easy as, you know, when we were kids. Because when we were kids, you put the cartridge in. You press the on button, and within a second, no matter what you do, you're playing a video.
Shit was loaded up.
There's only so many ways to go wrong before you're, like, in the game dying a bunch. And, like, you could figure it out with your siblings sitting there like me and Ian did and, like, you know, die a bunch of times in Mega Man and then figure out why you were dying a bunch of times in Mega Man and then get over that and learn from your mistakes. But, like, nowadays, it's like, the first time Leon played video games, I tried to sit him down to play Mario Odyssey because it was like, I played Mario when I was a kid. He'll play Mario when he's a kid. He'll play the Mario that came out. He spent the entire time with the camera pointed up at the sky running into a wall because two analog sticks for a five-year-old is complicated.
I'll never forget.
It's a lot to know, yeah.
When Mom brought home the Nintendo, it was like, we got a Nintendo kind of late. Like, it was like a couple of years after it came out, but she got us like the regular NES. And she brought it. Oh my goodness, bud.
Shmoopy.
She, it's okay, bud. Look, my your uncle's in the, he lives in the computer.
Hello.
And Uncle Nate lives in the computer, and Uncle Al lives in the computer. No, 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 those are scissors. Don't fucking do that. So, God, everything is so sharp when you have a baby. So, so Mom brought home the Nintendo, and she plugged it in to Mieta Vance's television, our next-door neighbor, the Vances. I went over there, and they plugged it in, and they turned on Mario Brothers, Super Mario Brothers, like the game that it came with. And she looks at me, and she goes, do you look at the screen or the controller?
Yeah.
And I just remember being like, I don't actually know. And then, like, within seconds, it became obvious what the answer to that question was, but it was just kind of like, I'm fucking seven. Why are you asking me anything? Like, you're 40. Like, you should know
you
this.
You got me this. I don't know what this does.
I guess we should probably not tell Mom we're doing this if we're making fun of her.
Oh, she'll get over it.
I don't know.
I think this is good-natured ribbing. I mean, I played Mario with my parents when they bought – they got me a Nintendo in, like, I feel like 88 or 89. So probably around the same time period.
I mean, I was 4 in 89. Alex wasn't born yet.
Okay, well, I'm way older than everybody, so whatever.
You're a bit older.
But I remember playing those games with my parents, and, like, they would do the move around thing with the control, you know, while they're trying to control it. So
the moving, like, with the fucking controller.
Adults do stuff. Great job on round one, guys. Alex, 2 points for for cocktail cabinet. Ian, 1 point.
I'll take it. That's fair. I didn't know what it was, but I had something to contribute once Alex defined it. So I appreciate
that's,
that.
That's what the show's about.
Makes sense.
Ian, we're going to start with you for round number 2.
Sweet.
Do you have a vague idea about Knights of the Round?
Oh, fuck yeah, I do. We actually played a ton of this when we were kids. We played a ton of a Super Nintendo game that featured King Arthur and Lancelot and Percival, I think, were the three characters you could play. It was one of those side-scroller beat-em-ups. I think you could play two-player, and it was dope. Like, you got to level up, I think, twice. So you started as, like, basic Arthur or basic Lancelot or Percival, and then you would, like, get, like, buffer with better armor, and at the end you were, like, an indestructible fucking force of nature, a total tank. I was always Percival, and he had the battle axe, right? And or was that Lancelot?
No, you're Percival.
Percival had the battle axe, and
with
you were always
big ass
the big shoulder fucking thing. That's right, totally. I love that game, and it was also one of the first, if I'm not mistaken, like, side-scroller action games where you could, like, interact with the environment. Like, you could, like, knock over, like, a crate of apples. You could smash cards and stuff and, like, get HP from it and shit. I don't know if we ever beat that game, but we played a fuck ton of it.
Oh, I beat that fucking game.
Knights of the Round was super fun.
That game was hard.
Because we were also, like, you know, swords and sorcery kids. So, anything that was King Arthur, like, my best... You met John Torella at the bachelor party.
Absolutely.
He named his kid Arthur, I'm fairly sure, as like an Arthurian reference point.
Must be,
If
that kid has boxers with little red hearts on it.
Yeah. Well, I would know because they shipped us all his fucking clothes from ages 0 to 6 months. We haven't bought this baby one fucking article of clothing because we've just gotten boxes of shit from all of our friends and family who have, like, had babies.
He's giving you side eye right now, too. He's like, you didn't buy
me
anything?
He's like, what
really?
Do you mean you didn't buy me nothing?
What about my style choices?
Brittany's bought, like, a set of overalls and, like, a couple of hats, I think.
You know what it's like to be tiny and get hand-me-downs from someone who's much bigger than you as a child? Because that's my life. I was wearing three sizes too big sweater.
Motherfucker,
like,
he is 6 months old. He does not know the difference. Come on.
Alex, do you have anything to add about Knights of the Round?
Oh my God, an infinite amount. So, listen, like, Capcom side-scroller beat-em-ups on my fucking jam.
Yeah, totally.
Capcom is my favorite company. Mega Man is my favorite character. Side-scroller beat-em-ups, especially Knights of the Round, is not my number one, but it is so far up there. The only thing that beats that is the two D&D games, Shadows Over Mystaria and fucking Tower of Doom. Those games are fantastic. But, like, yo, Knights of the Round is the jam. Knights of the Round is the reason why I got into this book series called Young Merlin when I was really
young. Totally true. Holy shit.
Oh, yeah. Wow. Yeah. Yo, Knights of the Round is why I don't like Harry Potter. Get this. So, when I was a kid...
I also don't like Harry Potter, but I didn't have a reason. The writing is terrible, and the author is a piece of shit.
Transphobic as fuck.
Right.
Vindicated.
Vindicated.
Lifelong vindication right there. So, because everybody thought I was an idiot for my entire life. So when I was a real young kid, I loved Knights of the Round. It was such a good game. I used to rent it from the library because we couldn't afford it.
We used to rent it from the library. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So
East Brunswick Public Library had a whole video game section where you could rent a game for 2 weeks for $2.
$2.
That's great. Yes.
Better than Blockbuster.
Our dad would take us to the library every Tuesday.
Every Tuesday.
If we checked out 5 books while he was picking his CDs, we read those 5 books during the week.
We got a video game.
We would get a video game. And we get to play it as much. And we could get two because I would get one and Ian would get one. He'd get to pick one and I get to pick one. He'd spend $4 for 4 weeks of entertainment for me. And that's
so
like,
great.
Dude, we were so lucky that we had the library because we were not wealthy and we could not afford Blockbuster.
No.
So like if Blockbuster was the only thing, I would have so much of a less like understanding of video games and I would have played so many fewer video games. The library had fucking everything.
They had you would rent out these like brown accordion folders that had like all 4 discs of Myst and shit.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
It was fucking awesome.
Yeah. So that's the tangent. So this game led to me reading this book series about Merlin because Merlin, Arthur, the whole thing. And one day my dad comes home and he's got this book called Harry Potter. And he's like, hey, it's about wizards. You love wizards. Check it out. I was an obsessive kid as a child. So like if I got
into as
Arthur,
a child.
All right, fuck you. So if I got into, you know, Knights of the Round, I would learn everything there was about the Knights of the Round. If I got into Merlin, I would learn everything there was about Merlin.
He would learn everything about. He would like physically embody them. So he would like became Merlin.
Shit.
You had the hat Halloween, and the cloak and the whole fucking thing. Yeah, man.
Halloween,
Kathy made
that
shit.
Wizard. I didn't take that robe off
for like a year. No.
Yeah.
It was like a fucking year.
I was like 9 or 10. So like, all right. So he brings this book, Harry Potter, home. And I read it cover to cover because I'm like, it's about wizards. I'm down. And that right when he gave it to me, the second one had came out. And he was like, check out the second one. I read through the second one. By the time I was finished with the second one, she had written the fucking third one and put it out. And I'm like halfway through the third one. And I'm like, I've read 7 of these Merlin books. And I am so into that. And like, this Harry Potter shit is whack. Harry Potter was dumb to me because, like Ian said, we were swords and sorcery. So, like, all of this stuff, like griffins and, like, monsters and, like, magic that was probably brand new to these kids who had never been exposed to it was, like, shit that she ripped from D&D that I learned when I was 10.
Yeah, man.
Yeah,
it's like pop culture bullshit, like,
it's
wannabe.
It's like watching fucking, what's that fucking nerd show?
Oh,
what's that
have to
show
be more specific.
What's that? This show with fucking all those nerds on it. That Big Bang Theory.
Oh, yeah.
I can't watch that shit.
Sure.
Yeah, because it's the same thing. It's the same thing. It's like an idiot's idea of what nerd that
right,
is.
Right, right, right.
Heartless reference is. Dropping.
Yeah.
And like shit on all of the time. You can't say to people, even like people who recognize that J.K. Rowling is a transphobic asshole, you can't say to people, like, Harry Potter's not good. People will be like, no, wait a second. You might think Harry Potter is... I'm like, look, I know a lot of, like, fantasy shit. I have been around the block. I'm allowed to make that statement.
Oh, yeah. I think the big thing with Harry Potter is that it's ultimately, like, it's the dumbing down distillation of stuff that already existed, which, if you read the stuff that already existed, it's insulting. Because it's like, well, no, this wasn't that like highbrow in the first place that a kid couldn't figure it out, and it already exists and it's in the public domain. Why are we paying her millions upon millions of dollars for regurgitating? Great job, both of you, on Knights of the Round. One of the things that I really loved about the SNES game was, graphically speaking, it was in that like perfect band where everything was bright pixel graphics. You had like
beautiful.
It had like that final fight energy, but it was
totally
like, it was that era, the bosses were great.
They were hard
multiple,
too.
You had the same like multiple health bar bosses, which was a unique thing at that time.
And that was an arcade game first, and then they put it on the Super Nintendo. And like I've beat it in the arcades a lot because all you got to do is throw quarters at it. But like on the Super Nintendo, and like it's on the Switch, you can get the like Capcom Beat 'em Up collection. It's on there along with King of Dragons, which is another
great game.
You can get that on the Switch and play it today. I have it, and like those games are hard. Unless you like, if you put the difficulty like the lives at normal, you really got to know how to. If you die in the first couple of levels, you're done.
Before you total up our points. That run. So I tweeted this on July 17th this year.
Uh-huh.
Harry Potter sucks. I have no idea why anyone is surprised the person who wrote it does too. That's the whole thing.
So
it's an unpopular opinion, but I'm very proud of it.
Yeah, no, I mean, we can all make peace with the fact that like as an entry point into this world, it can have meaning to people, right? It's the same thing that someone whose passion for televised animation starts with Family Guy is in the same boat. It's like, look, it's been done better before.
Gateways are cool, right?
And that's okay.
And also, but I would say that Harry Potter, like, for real, made us so many people who would not be lifelong readers into lifelong readers.
That's true, too. There's value to that.
It is a valuable tool for literacy.
Which,
I mean, and we need people who read now more than ever.
For sure.
So there was a second correct answer for Knights of the Round that you guys didn't talk about, but I'm going to bring it up because it meant a lot to me. It's also the most powerful summoning spell in Final Fantasy VII, which if you get the Knights of the Round
materia That's totally right. Yeah.
You get that Knights of the Round materia, and you just watch all, like, seven dudes come in and
crush the shit
out of stuff.
Yeah, that's dope as fuck.
Holy shit.
So that was another optional answer, but excellent work. You're going to get 2 points each for that.
Thank you.
And now it's time to play like our first game. It's time for Fuck, Marry, Kill.
Oh boy.
And this week on Fuck, Marry, Kill, it's Mega Man edition, folks, so get ready.
Oh boy.
Oh okay. No, this is gonna make me uncomfortable.
Yeah, same. I'm already uncomfortable.
So Ian, we're gonna start with you. Your options for Fuck, Marry, Kill are, and these are all robots that opposed Mega Man throughout the various games in the series. So your options are Pump Man, Hard Man, and Wood Man. Which will you fuck? Which will you marry? And which will you kill?
So I don't actually remember Pump Man.
Mega Man 9, I want to say.
So I stopped at like 6 or 7. So I haven't played the latter Mega Mans. So I guess we got to make sweet love to Pump Man because I don't know him that well and I don't want to get into it with the other guys. Wood Man fucking sucks, so he needs to die. Because he was always the one, and that was Mega Man 2, I think, or 3.
Yeah. Leaf Shield. Yeah.
That was, it was fucking terrible. Impossible. You just bam, 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 and they're just deflecting off the thing. It was absolutely impossible. I hated it so much. And then you got to marry Hard Man. Like, you just got to do it because he's one of the OGs, right? He was in Mega Man 1, right?
No, that's Guts Man.
That Hard is Guts Man. Man. I'm thinking of Guts Man. Fuck. Yeah. Which
You're
one's Hard Man?
Hard Man is the dude who looks like a oil container, I guess?
Well, maybe I'm in it for his
spout, doesn't he?
Maybe I'm in it for his personality, and it's really not a big deal that he looks like an oil can.
Look, I would pick Hardman. Why is marriage material? Hardman is like one of my favorite Mega Man bosses. He's just so stupid and great.
What
and
is like, his? What is his like move? Like, what is his pattern?
Hard knuckle. That big old. Face.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, yeah. His level is the one that's like desert level, but like it's got those little claws that come up and grab.
Oh, that was such a pain in the ass. All right, those are my answers. I always get uncomfortable during this part of the game, but I appreciate your fidelity to it.
You know what? With Robot Masters, this is like, I'm okay with it. Like, because like, I'm not, you know, it's not serious.
Right. Oh, yeah, no. And plus, I mean, they're all just fun sex pun names, so that's good. So, Alex, what are you going to do? Is it going to be Pump Man, Hard Man, or Wood Man?
So, I think I would marry... I'll kill Pump Man because it's just not a good design. And that makes me really upset. But like I would kill Woodman. Or I would fuck Woodman because that's weird. I guess it's weird. Yeah. Fuck Woodman and then marry Hardman. Because like he's my dude.
Great. Very good. You were both absolutely correct, and you both receive 1 point.
All right.
Sounds good.
I didn't know I could be right about this.
Was that your order?
I don't have an order. This is so subjective.
Host privilege. Privilege.
But I have a bonus question for both of you, which is invent a man to replace the one you killed. So Ian, you're gonna replace Woodman with what man?
For my entire life.
Oh my God, that's such a good question. I'm just like on the spot about it though.
Oh yeah, well Alex, if you know by chance who you replace.
Is there a Leaf Man?
Pump Man with.
There is. I don't believe there's a Leaf Man yet.
Well, you got Leaf Man. You got Leaf Man. You got Plant Man. Yeah. Leaf Man replaces Wood Man, and he's just like Wood Man, except instead of little leaves spinning around him, it's little logs that spin around him. Same character, just switch the leaves for the logs.
That's fun. Like, and I assume David Lynch appears pixelated next to this.
And the theme song is an 8-bit version of the Ren and Stimpy song Log.
Yeah. All right. Great. Okay. Alex, who's your
chip
man?
Chiptune Ren and Stimpy.
Fucking Cowboy Man.
Okay. Cowboy Man?
Cowboy Man.
Cowman
yes.
Boy.
Yes, no, Cowboy Man. Because it's fucking hysterical.
That's really funny.
Like, it's great. It's exactly what I want.
It's just Yosemite Sam, though.
Yeah. His power just... move is he pulls up in a convertible, searches for his mask, and then tells you to vote for Trump.
Cowboy Man.
Oh, no.
While listening to, like, Tim McGraw getting hugged by our aunt.
Excellent. Okay, it's time to go into round number 3. And, Alex, we'll start with you. Do you have a vague idea about Ultima Online?
Oh, man. You know what? I wasn't an Ultima kid. I've gone back and tried to like download it and play it because I think you can buy like fucking Ultima 1 through 99. And I had a friend growing up, this kid Nick, whose older brother was super into Ultima. But Ultima just seemed like wasn't it online?
It was.
It called literally called Ultima Online.
Yeah, we were not. I was like, our computer could not keep up with that.
That's
shit.
Definitely true. We had that like 1992 Packard Bell with the 28.8 BPS motor.
Yeah.
We never had a gateway, motherfucker. We weren't rich enough for that
shit.
We had a Packard Bell. We never had a gateway. No, bro, we could not afford that cow box.
You can ask dad. We had a gateway.
We not a gateway.
You can ask dad.
You're not going to ask dad. Packard Bell.
The Packard Bell was probably what we had when Ultima came out, but yeah, I'm gonna lose points on this. I don't know shit about Ultima, and people are gonna be really upset because Ultima is, from what I've heard from people who had like good computers when they were children, Ultima is a fantastic game.
All right, Ian, Ultima Online, anything to add?
So I think it was the first MMORPG, if that's not RuneScape, so it's one of those two. But it was probably, I think it was a fantasy-esque kind of precursor to RuneScape and World of Warcraft. That's my best guess.
Yeah, very good. It is the first MMO I ever played. A bunch of my buddies and I got into it in sophomore, junior year of high school. And it is isometric, 3-quarter overhead, like lots of towns that were so populated that the computer would just slow to a crawl while it tried to load all of these people. And then you had a bunch of, you know, you had safe areas and then areas where suddenly it was just the Wild West, right? There was an area called the Crossroads that everybody knew about because if you walked out there as a noob, you would get trashed and people would take all your stuff. And that was just how the game was played. It's also the first game in which I ever used macroing as a thing where I just, I would dial in to the internet to play the game at like 10 at night because the phone line could be occupied then. Yeah. And I would set a macro up to have my character just stand in the woods and chop trees down for hours
to level up,
to build up strength.
Oh yeah, because that
was because it was all farming. Yeah, because it was all like it was all, you know, metric based.
You know
stuff.
That they released RuneScape online, like old school RuneScape for your iPhone, so you can like it's free. It's freeware. I mean, I'm sure you can buy gems and get whatever the fuck.
It's pain in the ass to play.
I tried to play for 5 minutes and I was like, this is just why would I do this to myself? No,
yeah, they're not fun anymore. Although Ultima Online is still going, you could play it now. It is still running. It is still running at its full capacity and everything. It's
that's
wild.
Fucking great.
So great.
So yeah, great job. Ian, 2 points. Alex, 1 point.
Ah, we're tied, motherfucker. I'm keeping score.
Oh, and, I wasn't. That's and Ian, the difference between me and Ian.
Yep. I'm gonna win the podcast, motherfucker.
So Ian, we're gonna go with you for round start with you for round number four. Do you have a vague idea about Animal Crossing?
No. So I really don't. So I know it because most of the members of my staff love it so much. They have a whole fucking Slack channel at work about it. They talk about it constantly. I know turnips are some kind of wacky like currency that like basically like anchors the entire exchange rate of all vegetables or whatever in the game. Alex fucking loves it, so he's gonna murk me on this round. I'm gonna talk as much as I can to just like try and build up a reserve of points and take things away from you because I have no move. I have no move on this chessboard. So it's all Nintendo. So the latest version is on Switch. I think it started on the Wii or Wii U as the first one. Maybe a Game Boy. Fuck.
Keep going.
A 3DS. I'm trying.
No. What came
it's like the Wii? It's like Stardew Valley for lames and squares. That's my final fucking. It's like Stardew Valley, but it sucks, and you have to fly to people's fucking. Islands, and then you go there, and you have to see how they decorated their fucking shit, and it's all
this guy
fucking. And like Alex, I know you have like 22 pinball machines. I know you're very happy
Sounds
about
like
it.
Someone who doesn't have a Switch. Proud.
I won't buy a Switch. I won't buy a Switch because if I could take a like powerful video game system with me everywhere I went in the house, I would never fucking get anything done. I know that about myself. So I can't have a portable video game system that I can play Skyrim on, quite frankly, because I would never get out of the bathroom. I would take a shit for 45 hours and just like I would try and like beat the main quest. Like I can fucking find Alduin right now, just like in this poop, and I would never get off the toilet. It'd be terrible. So I can't get a Switch. I can't play Animal Crossing. I understand I'm missing out on something. And now to you to whoop my ass on this question after I bragged about winning the podcast.
All right, Alex.
I have like 450 hours in Animal Crossing. So
What's a new one called? It's like Animal Crossing something, right?
So this one's different because this one you land on a new island, a brand new island that is like you set up a campsite. And then you invite some friends, some villagers that you visit
NPCs
on different islands.
NPCs or real friends?
They're so you have NPCs that live on your island with you. You can also set up like Reg has one, a character
That's
on
his
my
wife.
Island. So you can have, so you can have a couple people live on your island that play the game too. But the main like thing about the game is that you have villager friends that you invite to your island. Now look, when this game was announced, I looked at the things. I was like, yeah, this looks cool. There's been a ton of Animal Crossing games before. I played none of them. So I was like, I don't know if I'm going to get this game. The day before it came out, I saw some video. I don't even remember what it was about. But I was like, this game looks cool. I'll get it. And it came out like right as the quarantine started.
Yeah.
So I was like, fuck, I'll play it. Why not? Dude, immediately hooked. Just like this game was designed for people like me. So there's this place, The Break, in New Jersey. It's my favorite arcade. It's an old school, like, really good, dingy arcade with really nice pinball machines. They've got all of the dance games. So DDR,
they've got like the DDR DJ game where go back and forth on the ones and twos.
They've got a ton of rhythm games. That place fucking rocks. They luckily we like had to like put some money in to like keep them afloat while the pandemic was going on.
I sent them $50.
I know because I asked you to, and you're the best. So they're hopefully doing good. But so I couldn't visit because of the pandemic, but you can have pinball machines and you can have arcade machines in Animal Crossing. So I just made the place in Animal Crossing, like one for one.
That's
and
awesome.
Like fucking great. That's great. And I sent the guy a picture saying I miss him and that like we'll be there soon. And it probably made him happy. And it made me happy. And like, dude, Animal Crossing is fucking great. So it's, I haven't played it in a little while.
What's
besides,
the
like, long.
Game though?
The game is designing the island how you want. So it's,
so it's Bed Bath and Beyond the video game.
Pretty much.
Come on.
Now listen.
How did this become such a thing?
Here's the thing. I'm going to give you a little anecdote and I'll tell you why. Because it's not so much about putting my arcade together, blah, blah, blah. On my birthday, which was April 21st of this year, we were quarantined, so I didn't get to have a fucking birthday party, and I was supposed to go to Sleep No More with a bunch of my friends.
Which we
and
all went to together
we have
once.
Gone
hell
to,
yeah.
And like, yeah, you guys know how cool that place is. So like, I was upset that I couldn't have like a birthday party. And like, my wife was like, oh, let's do a Zoom meeting and like, yada, yada. And like, that's fucking bullshit. That makes me feel worse. I want to see my fucking friends, blah, blah, blah. So like, I woke up on my birthday, kind of upset, in a sour mood. I turned on Animal Crossing because it was what I did every morning when I woke up back then. And I wake up and my favorite villager, Sherb, comes into my room.
Sherb
is the best. He's a little blue. He's a little blue goat and he just likes snacks and he's the fucking best. He's my best friend in the whole world. And this motherfucker shows up and says, hey, okay, we've got a surprise for you. Come back to my house. He brings me back to his house, and all my villagers are in his house celebrating my birthday.
They threw you a birthday party in Animal Crossing?
They threw me a birthday fucking
party.
All right.
And that's then, adorable.
Like, all right.
I knock down a pinata full of cupcakes. I give each one of them a cupcake. They all give me a present.
Oh.
I'm 32 years old.
That's really sweet.
Yeah, really
I was
good.
Weeping at my desk. Legit weeping. Because, like, this whole thing happened. Shit's fucked up. Animal Crossing is, like, so happy and it's like so cute and it's not cute in the way that it's like, you know, it hurts your teeth. It's so sweet. It's nailed in cute. It's the right amount at the right times every time. And like, dude, it's exactly what I fucking needed.
So the game is not them throwing you a birthday party though. That's not the whole
the
game.
No. So the game is essentially every morning you wake up, you can change things about your island by, you know, building water, like areas, planting trees, you know, putting items down so you get workout equipment or pinball machines or any of this stuff. You can put it anywhere on your island. You can put it in your house. You can put it on, you know, the beach. So you can build like a little luau area, or you can build a pirate's cove, or you can build a giant robot fighting a giant monster in a giant, tiny little city with like cameras that make it look like a Super Sentai episode. What I'm trying to do in this, because there are 5 superhero characters, they all have like numbers on their helmets and they're all like, you know, 1 through 4, like superhero team. Mm-hmm. There's also giant robots that are the hardest item to get in the game. And you can color them, each of the colors of those characters. So I'm trying to get all 5 of them to put them all together in a big diorama. That's my big end goal for the game. And nice. It's great because you can do whatever you want. You make whatever decisions you want. There are like 700 fucking villagers. So I've been playing since I got it in March, trying to get these specific 5 villagers to live in my village. I'm missing one of them. So all I need left is Agent S, the squirrel, and I'm good. And like, I need all the rusted parts to build the giant.
I won't belabor the point, but like, you still have not explained to me how this isn't just Stardew Valley for for lambs.
So it's not Stardew Valley because Stardew Valley is pretty focused on like farming and shit. There's not too much farming. You can plant trees and they grow and they drop fruit, but that's not like a huge thing. Like once you get that set up and you have like a little orchard making fucking apples and shit, you kind of leave that to the wayside. But like the turnips thing is probably what makes you think about Stardew Valley. And the turnips thing is like fucking nuts. Like the turnips thing I was initially really turned off by because the game itself is very slow, methodic, like paced. It's very calm. It's not rushed. It's not like you're not required to do anything. And there's no like huge incentive besides like a bigger inventory and like more places to put your shit. But like the turnips thing really like changes how you play the game. And like you just try to amass a fort. And it's, dude, it's the fucking stock market. It's literally called the stock market.
S-T-A-L-K.
Yeah, the stock market.
We should move on before I get angry.
All right, listen. You would hate this game because this game is only little cute clever puns. The entire, like, Animal Crossing is just little cute clever puns, the video game. Every character is a cute clever pun. Everything that they do is a cute clever pun. Everyone has a catchphrase that they say at the end of their sentence that you can change, which is pretty great because they made them all say like chia chia and chaboy and like that shit is hysterical.
Just like the shit that you say.
Yeah. Dude, it's great because like I can't see my friends. So like I made them all sound like my friends. So they come over and they're like, chapa, what's good? And I'm like, yeah.
Chapao, chia, chia.
Sure, you are my dude. What's up, Phoebe? How you doing?
So how do we feel generally speaking about Trump's proposal to take the United States off the turnip standard?
Is that a thing?
I'm making a currency joke.
No, I just hate him so much.
It's over. Yeah, no, he's garbage.
Yeah, for real though. Like the stock market, if you do the stock market and you take it seriously and you realize that like this is an analog to how real stocks work, that shit makes me real uncomfortable. Because like capitalism is bad.
There have been discussions about how this game does sort of indoctrinate capitalism because your like lead NPC character, whose name I can't recall, basically
Tom
tells
Nook.
You like,
wait a second.
Tom Nook's basically like, hey, you live on my island, Nook. You work for me, so you got to do these things.
Well,
to
I don't know much about this game as evidenced by the last 20 minutes of our conversation. However, capitalism is actually a huge problem, but free markets are good. The problem with capitalism is that it's not free markets. They're rigged markets.
This
is
not a free market.
It's not?
Animal Crossing is not a free
market. Oh, so it's just like it's a total like supply side nightmare where like it's...
Oh, yeah.
So it's capitalism. Yeah. It's bad.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Like if you have a moon bench, people will fucking show you their boobs on OnlyFans for it.
I don't understand. All right. Again, not getting a Switch. Let's move on.
Great job. Alex, 4 points. Ian, 2 points.
Fuck. I didn't know you could get 4 points. Jesus Christ. I tried so hard.
You can beat me in magic.
Ugh, I tried so hard. I don't know.
And now it's time for our second game. It's time for the Thunderdome. And this week in the Thunderdome, we have two great video game designers battling to the death. And you have to tell, each of you have to tell me who is going to survive that battle.
Oh, shit.
Facing off are Shigeru Miyamoto.
Oh, fuck yeah.
Man.
And Hideo Kojima. Who wins battle to the death? Alex, we're starting with you.
Miyamoto, man. I think hands down. So, like, all right. Look, I like Kojima, and I really like Metal Gear Solid. I was not a Metal Gear Solid kid growing up. My favorite Metal Gear Solid game is VR Mission. Because it's just like all of the fun without any of the bullshit. Metal Gear Solid is too much bullshit for me. And like my favorite thing is there's that meme where it's like explaining what Metal Gear Solid is about, but it's a picture of Mega Man X because they're essentially the same fucking story.
Yeah.
But so look, Miyamoto, like he's the godfather of like modern video games, like of the golden age too. Like, yes, like, dude, he's a man. Like, he's a man. I love Kojima, but like, I would pick so many people over Kojima. I would only pick a few people over Miyamoto if I would pick anyone over him. Like, I think the only person who comes close is why can't I remember his name right now? The designer for Symphony of the Night. Keiji Inafune.
Okay, yeah.
Like, wait, no, that's Mega Man. I'm sorry. Anyway,
no, that's
Miyamoto's
good.
The man.
Yeah, Miyamoto's a good call. I mean, you got Mario, you got a whole bunch of stuff. Groundbroken.
It's Zelda too, right? Like
Was gonna be my whole argument.
Yeah. All right, you make that argument because Zelda was your game.
It was gonna be my whole argument. So I too am a Metal Gear fan. In fact, like Metal Gear 5, I think is like underrated. Like I only played it because it was like free PlayStation Plus game once, and like I thought it was gonna be like a sub chapter and like a quick like some kind of Telltale bullshit. That game is fucking amazing. Like it's really cool. So deep, it is so big, it's super fucking fun. The story is great, the characters are great, the acting is great, the animation is great. Like everything about it is great, and still. Because Miyamoto basically invented every genre of video games that is still being played today.
Yeah. Like, he made Kirby, right?
Yes. The side-scroller, like the side-scroller platformer, he just fucking came up with that. Like he basically took Joust and turned it into like a continuous scroller. So like Mega Man doesn't exist without him. Symphony of the Night doesn't exist without him. Knights of the Round doesn't exist without him. Yep. Dark Souls doesn't exist without him. And Legend of Zelda, like, was the most formative, was my favorite video game, is my favorite video game. And Link was a side-scroller based on, so it was, like, both combined. So Link to the Past is also one of my top five video games of all time. I've played through that recently. Like, every couple of years, I'll just fucking, like, blast through it because it's so much fucking fun.
So fucking good.
It was Mario, it was Zelda, I think it was Kirby. Kirby. It was like every top down.
I think Metroid.
He also just like figured out how to use every like bit system, like 8-bit, 16-bit, 64-bit, to like its logical like placement. Like you have 8 bits to work with. You've created both a side scrolling game and a top down game. So you've like thought about visual perspective. Mm-hmm. And action and fun and reward and risk and all of those things. You just built them into a visual perspective that doesn't change for the majority of the time you're playing. Like, there are those weird secret levels in Zelda that, like, end up being, like, side-scrollers, right? Like, go down the path. And like, Binding of Isaac, which is also one of my favorite games, doesn't exist without Miyamoto inventing Zelda. And there's so much homage to that game. To Zelda in Binding of Isaac 2. So
I mean, if you think about like the first Kirby on Game Boy and then what they did with Kirby's Adventure, like Kirby's Adventure was fucking incredible.
There's one more thing I'll say about Miyamoto and then we can move on. Super Mario RPG.
Oh yeah. Excellent. Excellent game.
So like
one of the best
games. Spiritual predecessor to all the Paper Mario games, all of which are excellent and weird and strange in their own ways.
Yeah.
Did what I thought every RPG should do, which is like give you bonus for timing and like ask you to do action things, not just like get the random number generator to happen the right way.
Pressing
every time.
A at the right time. At the right time. Does something.
Like when you're Mario in that game and you land like a
you
dope
do the stomp
fucking
properly.
Stomp right on their heads and it like gives you the like multiple Mario. It's so The point of all this is, like, I think he understood, like, feedback loops and satisfaction better than almost any other video game designer. Like, these games are hard without being, like, hard for the sake of hard. They're rewarding because they're difficult but not impossible. And like, every serotonin hit you get is, like, on purpose. Like,
there are an infinite amount of videos of Miyamoto playing Nintendo games with people on floors of E3 and, you know, in rooms, in closed doors and yada, yada. And every single one of them, he's fucking smiling.
Yeah,
and he's laughing.
Having that passion
and
joy
for
it.
And he was just like, dude, like, I miss him being part of Nintendo Directs so fucking much because, like, it just, there's nothing like, he's like Rod Serling with Twilight Zone. Like, Jordan Peele's the man. He does a great job. He's not fucking Rod Serling. He will never, and I know he's not trying to be, but like, we're never going to have another Miyamoto. There's
just like,
never
he's
going
a
to
visionary,
be
right? Like, yeah. It's like he invented, like, I don't know if the modern video game industry exists without him. Kojima certainly fucking doesn't.
No,
so like,
absolutely not.
Yeah.
So like,
I don't even know what, like, Kojima probably started, like, doing real cool shit, but like, I didn't follow Kojima as a name until he started doing weird shit like Death Stranding and like Metal Gear Solid 5. And people started being like, why the fuck is this man doing all this crazy? I had cousins growing up who were super into Metal Gear Solid, and they would like talk my fucking ear off
Tommy
about
and
it.
Christian?
Yeah. But
yeah,
I,
really
like,
into it.
We were a little older when those games came out, and Metal Gear Solid was like a game with guns that had pictures of dudes with guns on the cover. And like my parents were like, why don't you get something else? You know?
Sure.
So Metal Gear Solid was still, like I said, VR missions, like they let me get that because the cover is like a dude with sunglasses and like you could play, like you could get away with it. It was just like rocket launcher guided, like rocket missions, which were my favorite fucking thing to do.
Yeah, I mean, you both did great. 2 points each. I'm apt to agree. Like, I think what Kojima's contributed recently is interesting because it's sort of pushed the boundaries of what a video game looks like. But you're both absolutely correct. Without Miyamoto, we don't have any video games at all. Like,
I think Kojima,
you need the entry to begin changing things.
I think Kojima is like an artistic visionary in many, many ways. And I'm not saying that Miyamoto is not, because like coming up with fucking Kirby and Mario and Zelda and like Link is just fucking
Star Fox, F-Zero,
really, yeah.
Donkey but fucking
like,
Kong.
Yeah. But like, you know, Miyamoto, his main thing was fun. And like video games are fun. And Nintendo is fun. And like PlayStation exists, Xbox exists, blah, blah, blah. Nintendo has always been fucking fun. And it's because they follow what Miyamoto has always done.
Yeah, you have a hard time imagining that there would be some sort of specific like device later that's just like a Kojima classic that just collects all of his work. But all of Miyamoto's work will always be reproduced in smaller and more compact forms and resold because people will always go, oh, I really want to play Super Mario Brothers 3 again because that was so good. Awesome. Now, from the makers of Pomme ou Pomme de Terre, it's La Chose Française Arbitraire. That's the arbitrary French thing. The only thing that is French about it is the name. And so this week I'm going to pose a question to each of you. Ian, we'll start with you. What franchise do you wish there was a video game of? There isn't one. What franchise should have a video game?
That's such a good question.
When you say franchise, what do you mean? Like, not like Domino's
like
Pizza. They do have a video game.
Yeah, like a movie or a book series or something.
So the obvious answer, I've thought about this a lot, actually, so thank you. And I've searched for it. You know I'm going to say Redwall, right?
Yeah, I guess
that's the fucking answer. The answer is Redwall. And there have been attempts. There's this game called Tooth and Tail. I don't know if you've played it. It's actually really, really fun. It's sort of like a mix between like Command and Conquer and like... isometric, like top-down, like action-oriented game like Diablo. It's not turn-based, but it's like base building. And so the thing about Redwall, it's a book series. This guy Brian Jakes. It's like probably my favorite book series of all time. I'm reading them to Davis, my baby, right now, just in order. Like he doesn't understand a fucking word I'm saying, but I'm rereading them out loud to him because it's so great. It holds up. And it was like the swords and sorcery stuff that we were talking about earlier, but it was my first, like, I brought home big books from the library and felt good about it. Because, it's when you're a little kid, like Cat in the Hat and, like, Dr. Seuss and shit, they're, like, thin little books of, like, 30 to 50 pages, and they're, like, over fast, and there's, like, 15 words on a page at most, right? These things were no pictures, just books, just words. The descriptions of the food are like a hallmark of the book series. I don't think you do that in the video games, but like the story and the characters, you could make a fucking dope as hell, like, you know, Skyrim type. You could even skin Skyrim and make it Redwall, or you could just like start from scratch and make it like an amazing RPG of some way, of some sort, that I think would really rock and roll. And like the concepts of good and evil, the concepts of religion, the concepts of fidelity and loyalty. There's like the young hero Matthias, who's like the big, and then there's like the legendary hero Martin the Warrior. The lore is great and deep, and I've been thinking about this since the first website I ever made was a Redwall fan page, like back in the day on like Alta Vista or GeoCities or some shit like that.
That's awesome.
And I learned how to code HTML because I wanted to make a Redwall fucking web page, and I did, and it was awesome. Anyway, that is a great question, and that is my answer to it, because Redwall is one of the greatest series of young adult fantasy books ever made, and it would make an incredibly good video game.
That's a great answer, because it's already middle grade literature anyway, so it's going to have all of the elements you need to connect with somebody without
totally
doing a lot of extra heavy lifting, and then it's stylization. That's great. Alex, what's your choice?
Oh, damn. It's a hard question, because here's the thing. Most of the franchises that I like are video games. Mm-hmm. Or Marvel, which is like they've done a bajillion. But here's the thing. He's been in video games, but they have never done a Moon Knight video game.
I knew it. You predictable motherfucker.
They need to just – they never will unless the show fucking kills it, which, you know, I'm praying. Everybody's praying. Make sure that show good, please. But like – he's so fucking cool, and like he's in a few video games. He's in Ultimate Alliance 1 and 2 or 1 and 3, and he's in, you know, some of the Lego games, and he's in a couple of the mobile games. But like, put this motherfucker in his own game, make it kind of like Arkham Asylum, like go into the whole multiple personalities thing, let him drive around on the streets as fucking Jake Lockley, let him like schmooze and wine and dine and Steven Grant, like come up with cool tech. And let you bust ass this Moon Knight, throwing fucking blades, nunchucks, the whole deal.
Truncheon.
So like, Moon Knight is the character that I love the most in Marvel.
Moon Knight's like a very underrated Marvel character.
He's like a C-list dude that nobody really cares about. That's why I'm so excited for this show. Because when I was a kid, I was Vision, the Marvel character, for Halloween one year. And, like, nobody fucking knew who I was when I went up to the door. I had to explain to everybody who I was. Now, if you wear a Vision costume, people will probably know who the fuck you are because people have seen the Marvel movies with Vision in them. Yeah. That happens with
Moon
Knight.
He was, like, an incredibly important plot point in Endgame.
Yeah, he was incredibly important since Age of Ultron, since he was introduced. He's, he's got the Mind Stone in his fucking head.
Yep.
It's the whole thing. Like, oh, man. Man, and now he's dead, and that's sad. But he'll be back. He's coming back for the show. That's great.
Yeah,
side
marked.
Tangent. Yeah, the answer is Moon Knight, because Moon Knight's the best, and they've never put him in his own fucking video game, and they probably never will. But like, Moon Knight's the best.
All right, very good. So I'm gonna give Ian 3 points, and I'm gonna give Alex 2 points. My answer is Calvin and Hobbes. And
yeah, that'd be great.
I had in the elementary school library when I was like in sixth grade, we concocted how this game would work, and it would be a side-scrolling platformer where you could have the Sonic the Hedgehog style. Somebody can play as Hobbes and somebody's Calvin at the same time on the screen. You would have levels that sort of interwove all of Calvin's alter egos. So you'd be like in a classroom level where at the end of the class, like midway through the classroom level, you would get the Spaceman Spiff upgrade, and then you would fight the teacher as an alien, but then the level would end after you beat the boss with she's still just the teacher and you have to go to detention. It would also involve the transmogrifier and the time machine box and all this other stuff. There's just so much there for it, and it would be a blast to play by yourself or with a co-player. So that was my big one. It'll never happen because other than Calvin peeing on things, there's no Calvin Hobbes merchandise.
Did you ever play Virtual Bart for Super Nintendo?
Virtual
No.
Bart's great.
Game fucking rocks.
Virtual Bart's really good and underrated. It's like the Simpsons arcade game meets like mid-90s SNES platformers meets like, what else? It just
it's
had
like
the mini games. Yeah.
It's really weird.
Nice.
It's like you're like Bart and there's like, you put on these virtual glasses and you spin this virtual wheel and it puts you into like mini games. One of them is you like are on a water slide and you're going down on a tube and you have to like dodge
totally.
People and go
yeah,
down
yeah.
the right tube. Another one, you are a T-Rex version of Bart.
It's basically like a bunch of different Super Nintendo games that were skinned with The Simpsons.
Pretty much.
Like so, like the tube one is like F-Zero. The monster one is like Godzilla or King of Monsters.
Yeah.
Like But it's like
there's
it's
like a pie throwing one.
Right. It's like through the lens of The Simpsons. It's really, really fucking good. I forgot about that game.
It's similar to the idea that you had. Another one that would be great, Animorphs.
Oh yeah, that's an interesting idea.
Animorphs would be think Animorphs the game is actually just Claymates. Like we have that.
I fucking love that game.
Claymates is so good. Claymates is so good.
Interplay pumped out.
Do you know Claymates,
Nate?
It's probably related to Clay Fighter, right?
Because it was Interplay's platformer when they were making Clay Fighter games. They made a platformer that had like four options of animals you transformed into as a little clay ball that had a jump and like a punchy fist. But then you could like become
fucking
like
brilliant.
Any number of clay animals to like complete harder levels in the platform. You could, one was a bird, there was a fox that ran
like
fast.
A mouse, cat,
the mouse like bit shit. It was great.
A duck. Yeah, it was so fucking good. That
great
game is mad
game.
Weird.
And
my love for Claymation started with Claymates.
Right on.
Right on. Well, okay, guys, we're going to go into the final topic. So,
oh, shit.
Lots of things are going to be decided right now because 1 point separates the two of you.
Woo!
My God.
Alex, we're going to start with you.
Right.
Do you have a vague idea about dog meat?
Dog meat? Dog meat from, like, Fallout?
Yeah. Yeah, good. Very good.
Yeah. Is dog meat a dog?
He is, yeah. He's a dog.
Dog meat's not the dog with the fucking Brooklyn accent, right? No, that's Skyrim. That's Skyrim. Dog meat is from Fallout 3.
Don't give him anything. Don't give
him
anything.
You're not
right on the fucking. We're right on the edge here. Don't give him anything.
Yeah. So what I was going to say while we were talking about Fallout before was I don't remember playing any of the Fallout games besides 4, and I've played all of them. I have New Vegas, I have 3, I've played 1 and 2 when I was a kid. Like, I don't remember playing any of those games. I love 4. I know that 4 gets a bad rap, and like, I'm infinitely frustrated and will be forever at 4 because they fucking ruined, like, I couldn't get the sewing armor vest in. I just wanted to wear like a baseball
uniform.
the ballistic
shit. You got glitched out.
It was glitched. Yeah.
Ah, it sucks.
To this day on PS4, you can't fucking fix it. I'm still sure. Like they released.
I got
like, a
it.
Mod
I got
thing.
The ballistic armor working on PS4. No
yeah.
Problem.
So like my 200 hour game with like my like custom built bowling alley that actually works and returns the balls that I made in like the fucking weird like building program is useless because I just want to wear a fucking baseball uniform and smash dudes with a baseball bat, but like one shot and I'm dead, so I'm just walking.
I do the three-piece suit machine gun thing. It's awesome.
So cool. But yeah, I know very little of dog meat. I know the name. I think it was the dog that you got in Fallout 3 that followed you around, that was your partner. But
Ian,
what can you add about dog meat?
All right, so I'm almost positive he's in every Fallout game. I know he's in 3 and 4. He's the first companion you get in 3. He's great because I actually almost never switch him off in 3. I do switch him off in 4 just because, like, there are companions later on, like Paladin Dance and shit, where you just, like, the overwhelming firepower is just kind of worth it. But I always keep dog meat at my main base. Because I do like bringing him around. So he searches for items, which is fucking great. Mm-hmm. He'll go find you shit. And like when you play on hardcore mode, that's super fucking useful because you need health and food and ammo a lot. So dog meat is a great companion. He's a German Shepherd. There's a couple of pieces of armor you can equip him with that are like hard to find throughout the game. There's like a really cool spiky collar, and then
you can give him armor. That's
In Fallout 4 they have like more armor.
Yes.
That's really dope. And I actually loved Fallout 4. I did not have a single problem with that game. Every Fallout game I play, 2 playthroughs at least, one where it's like I'm making the decisions Ian would make as like a somewhat moral character in the universe, and then the second way I go through as a woman and I'm a fucking monster. I'm murdering NPCs and stealing their shit. I'm I have to kill all of the neutral NPCs to fulfill the mission of this character. But I never, ever kill dog meat. I can't do it.
You can't kill dog meat, can you?
You can. All of your companions can die, and you can accidentally kill them a lot in Fallout 3, which is a huge fucking problem. But I guess that's the long and short of it. He's got a few quests in number four that I can't remember off the top of my head, but definitely like my favorite companion in three for sure, a staple of the series, and like so funny that like the dog's name would just be Dog Meat. Like, you don't name him that. That's just him. And not for nothing, Fallout, all of them are, you know, homages of in a sense to the short film A Boy and His Dog, mm-hmm. which is what Dog Meat is in the series as well. That's the nod to that part of that film.
This motherfucker's just trying to bleed the points.
Bleed the points.
I'm gonna win.
Bleeding the points.
Dog Meat does appear in all the Fallout games that exist. You can get him as a companion in 1 and 2. Super fragile in that game, so like I would never take him anywhere. There was also in 2, there was the pariah dog, which was the other dog that you could get as a companion, but it immediately reduced your luck to like -10. So awful things would just happen to you because this dog was around, which was a fun mechanic in and of itself. I think we should have you back on the show to talk about the psychology behind becoming a woman character and then murdering people. But we don't really have time to explore
it. I'm sure there's a lot to unpack there. But it's just like, you know, it's like I'm me. I make a bald guy with a beard and glasses, which is like available in nearly every video game. So that's super cool. And then it's like I'm going to be this other character. So like I won't just like not have a beard. I'm going to like transform the whole character.
Yeah, be
right?
somebody else altogether.
Quite frankly, they end up looking like Britney 9 times out of 10.
You can never find a hairstyle in video games that matches my hairstyle. So I literally have never...
That's not true. Dark Souls has like a bunch of long dude hair.
Yeah, they're all just... That's the thing. It's like a lot of video games have long dude hair.
Skyrim. There's one like you in Skyrim for sure.
No, they're all just... Off.
They look like Triple H.
The only one that I found is Animal Crossing. And Animal Crossing fucking nails it. Like, my Animal Crossing character looks so fucking much like me. It's weird. Like,
oh, my so Monster Hunter like character looked so much like me, it was weird.
Yes, it does. No, Ian's Monster Hunter character looks like Ian in Monster
Hunter.
It's
like great.
It's super
I love it
weird.
So
yeah.
much.
But I always, since I played Tenchu for the first time, anytime I make a character where I'm like a third-person action game, I make a girl because I'm playing Ayame the Ninja and I'm in the fucking zone.
Yeah, she's a fucking best.
She's so dope.
Well, guys... I have interesting news for you. So, for the final topic, Ian will receive 2 points and Alex will receive 1 point. And so that means that we have a tie.
Motherfucker. Is there a tiebreaker or is this just how it's going to end?
No, we're just going to end on a tie. You guys grew up sharing stuff together. You can share the victory on this episode of the show.
That's actually really, really sweet. I would rather, it turns out, despite my competitive nature, I would rather tie than win. I would rather tie than win.
So 17 points each. And wow, this was close throughout. Like I was really thinking that Alex was going to pull away completely. And then it was just,
I can't believe you didn't know anything about Dog Meat. That was really lucky for me.
Listen, my brain is full of a lot of useless information and there's only so much useless information.
But you didn't play as much Fallout 3 as I did. Like I must have had 400 hours in Fallout 3.
With open world games, like my brain shuts the fuck off when I'm playing them. I could not tell you anything. And Mo makes fun of me about this all the time. I also don't really particularly read stories in games. Like, I'll admit, story games, I skip the dialogue a lot. And, like, it drives Mo crazy because he'll be like, yo, do you remember the part where, like, this happened? And I'm like, and he's like, but you got this, right? And I'm like, yeah. And he's like, that was, like, literally just before this happened. And I was like, yeah. He's like, did you kill the thing? And I'm like... Like before, when you guys were talking about Fallout 3, about the giant fucking robot at the end, I was like, oh, yeah, there was
Liberty
a giant
Prime.
Robot at the end.
Yeah.
I haven't fucking thought about that.
When you go and take over the fucking Hoover Dam, that's like one of the greatest scenes in video games ever.
I was like, fucking.
The Battle of Hoover Dam.
Came out?
My God.
Yeah, dude. It's so bad. Awesome. Like, I'm playing through Ghost of Tsushima right now. I'm guaranteeing you, the second that I'm done with this game, I'm not going to remember shit. I just played like 50, 60 hours of The Witcher. I couldn't tell you what happened in that game.
That game's too much. It's a lot. I'm currently stuck in the Gwent tournament, and I'm like, I'm never going to get through it, so I'll never complete that game.
So, like, can we talk about how me and you grew up as, like, we're card game fans. Like, I play Hearthstone, we play Magic, I play Pokemon, blah, 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 like, everyone I always talked to was like, oh, you should try Gwent. I played the game. I don't fucking like Gwent. Is there Gwent's something wrong with me?
Awesome.
Is it? Is, I don't get it.
I don't know anything about it, so I can't.
Give it a shot. So Gwent in the game is really, really great. Gwent mobile is like hard, but really fun.
Because I don't understand.
Yeah, it's different. I mean, no, it's different enough. The basic concept. It's like Magic meets Mancala, and then like Slay the Spire is not super far off of Gwent.
The rounds confuse the shit out of me. Like,
it's basically a little math puzzle. Like you gotta get the numbers to work with the numbers in your hand. It's a little math puzzle.
It's a little Sudoku kind of thing. Okay, so great job, guys. Thank you so much for being on the show.
Thank you for having us. Yeah, seriously.
That was so much fun.
Alex, do you have anything that you would like to plug? Anything that you want the listeners to attend to that they should do? Keeping in mind this will come out in September.
I have a few shitty rap songs they can listen to if they
want. Yeah, great shitty rap songs.
You can go to Bandcamp and search Lock. I'll give you like a link that you can put somewhere.
I'll put it in the show notes.
People will be able to find it. There's like three songs that are like,
they're great. You know,
mostly done. And you can get inside my weird brain because it's fucking weird in
here. Is Hungry Grumbles on there?
Yeah, Hungry Grumbles.
Hungry Grumbles is so good.
It's a good song. It's probably my favorite thing that I've ever done. Hungry Grumbles is so good. The only thing that I'm like legit proud of. Like,
that's great.
I gotta re-record all the stuff with like someone who's not me behind the fucking producers. Chair, but yeah, it's a lot of fun. I only really do it for myself, so if you guys enjoyed me talking about video games, that's all that is.
It's just that, but rhyming.
Right on. No, that sounds great. I'm pretty sure I've heard one of your rap songs.
Anyway. I think so. I think you heard one.
And it is really good. So yeah, listeners, you should check out Alex's stuff. I'll put the link in the show notes. Ian, anything that you would like to plug?
Of course, denverpost.com/opinion. Ian Silveri, Denver Post columnist. Come read my dumb ideas. Agree, disagree. Send me hate mail. Everybody else does.
Don't do that. Listen. If you're listening and you don't like my brother, stop fucking doing that. Like, it's not going to work.
Some poor asshole Republican opposition researcher had to listen to this entire episode of this podcast and try and find some fucking actionable shit for me in case, God forbid, I like do something stupid and run for office one day. I'm not gonna, but like there was some idiot who was being paid $15 an hour to transcribe this entire podcast in case I said something stupid or actionable. Here's the deal.
And if you'd like to send me the transcript, you can tweet at me, @AVagueIdeaPod.
When Ian moved to Colorado, he gave me all his embarrassing shit, and I destroyed it. So you won't find nothing.
No, I'm good.
Get the fuck out of here.
Show bat records. of course, like our political podcast, Get More Smarter. We have a new website, getmoresmarter.com. Check it out. We're up every week on sometimes Thursday, sometimes Friday, sometimes the following Monday. We're all very busy. We're interviewing a ton of state legislative candidates this year, ones that I'm not married to, so it's an interesting conversation. So check it out, getmoresmarter.com and Apple, Stitcher, Spotify, the Get More Smarter podcast. It's a Colorado politics podcast, so if you're into that at all, come on. We have some great guests. We had John Hickenlooper. We're going to have Denver Mayor Michael Hancock and ask him about if we're going to have stormtroopers in the streets. We had Governor Jared Polis. It's a fun show. Come check us out, getmoresmarter.com.
Right on.
Listen to this. I'm always so impressed that my brother's actually like doing stuff. You know, like not for nothing. I always knew he would be impressive, but like I'm proud of him.
I just made it all up. Cool. It's all fake.
There's a professionalism to all of it.
Yeah, but you like, you know, you get the fakeness. You know, you understand it and you know how to play the game and you know how to do the things that make people say the right shit, and that's what's important. You get the word out and you actually change opinions about shit that, like, you know, me yelling at some fucking idiot on the internet is never gonna do. So, like, at least one of us Silveris is pumping it out.
You're doing great, buddy. You have a beautiful family, a wonderful family, and you have, like, a job and everything. Like, you should be very, very proud of yourself.
Exclusively on my children because I love them.
They're amazing.
The best thing that ever happened to me, I don't want nothing to do with the rest of this shitty world. I just want to hang out with them all day. My son is great. He does not stop talking, and my daughter is amazing. And, yeah, that's
really,
all I
really, really cute kids.
Play video games and see my kids.
Thanks for having us, dude. This was really, really fun. Really.
listeners, if you like this podcast, you should subscribe, rate, and review us wherever you listen. That would help. You can also find us on social media by searching for A Vague Idea, because there's really not anybody else using that handle, so you'll find us. I don't need to drop a bunch of different handles at you.
I did.
Yeah, Alex found us. Also, if you like our theme song, check out michaeljoconnor.bandcamp.com. He has a lot of really excellent music that he's been writing for well over a decade that you should listen to, and it'll make your life better. And also, guys, Black Lives still matter, so support it. Get out there. You know, protest. Hey, if we're in the midst of needing to protest actively in the streets to prevent martial law, then get out there and do it. And otherwise, support with your dollar. Use whatever energy you have to support the things that are important. We have all had a vague idea about video games tonight, which is good because the devil is in the details. Bye-bye.
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 A Vague Idea is written and produced by me, Nate Regolian, with Shannon Page and sometimes John Perros. Information about topics often come from Wikipedia, so hey, why not donate a bit to that? Sound effects are Creative Commons public domain. If you like this podcast, tell a few people, and subscribe, rate, and review us wherever you listen. And if you happen to like reading science fiction, check out the small press I started with my friend Sean Grokowski. You can find Spaceboy books at readspaceboy.com.